Welcome to Calvary Christian Church's podcast. We're located on the North Shore of Boston and are committed to being a balanced ministry with a personal touch. Each week, one of our pastors will deliver biblical encouragement and practical application tips for everyday faith living. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, how we worship Him today. Praise God, praise God. Those of you here in person may be seated. What a great song to be singing today, especially in light of today's message. But we'll get to that in just a moment. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another week at Calvary Christian Church. So great to see your wonderful and beautiful mask and all of you who are here in person. And welcome, of course, to all of you joining with us online today from home or your office or whatever campus you are joining us from around the country or literally around the world. A special welcome always to any first-time visitors. If this is your first time to Calvary Christian Church in person or online, please, please be sure to connect with us so that we can connect with you. A special shout out to Carisha. Are you here, Carisha? One of my North Point Bible College students. Who has chosen to worship with us this semester. So good to have you here, Carisha. And you want to be sure to connect with Pastor Joy, who is leading worship. I keep forgetting this. It's either her mother or her father is from Jamaica, like you are. And I know she wanted to connect with you and say hi to you today. And thanks to Mr. C, wherever he is, for driving the bus. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I was recently asked by North Point Bible College, where I teach pastoral leadership each spring, I was asked to bring a message entitled A Pastoral Response to End Times Questions. And I will deliver that message this Tuesday at 11 a.m. at North Point Bible College in our chapel service. So thank you for praying with me along those lines. And so, Carisha, that means you will have to hear the sermon twice. And I will be watching on Tuesday to make sure you stay awake through the whole sermon, just saying. But last Sunday, as I was sitting here and listening to our guest speaker, I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I don't know if the Lord ever speaks to you during the preaching, but as I was sitting and listening to the preaching last Sunday, I felt like the Holy Spirit released me to go ahead and deliver the same message to our church family here. As questions about the end of times are always of interest to some, and especially during times of a once-in-a-century pandemic. Hello? So next Sunday, by the way, next Sunday will be 1 year since we had to temporarily shut down our in-person worship services because of the coronavirus. Can you imagine? 1 year has passed. And of course, there was a fair bit of panic, fear, and anxiety in the hearts of some at that time. In fact, I remember one of the first text messages I received from someone after the news went out that we're going to have to shut down temporarily. And the text message said this: Pastor Tim, is this the end? Is this the end? And I want you to know, I was prepared with an answer. I had an answer, being the deep biblical scholar that I am. Why are you laughing? And Pastor Tim, is this the end? And I was ready with a response. I said, I don't know. I don't know. And then I went on to say, what I do know, I said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future in His hands. And because I'm in a personal relationship with Him, He has promised He will never leave me, never forsake me, that He is with me right to the very what? Right to the very end. So that ought to provide all of us with some comfort, strength, and encouragement today. Regardless of what we face today or tomorrow, or should the Lord tarry, what we will face this year. Even so, whether from fascination or from fear, people tend to have an inordinate interest in the future. As pastors, we learned a long time ago that if you want to get a good turnout for a Bible study, do one on Daniel and Revelation. You'll get a lot more people to show up for Daniel and Revelation than you will prayer and fasting. Thank you very much. But to be clear, we should study biblical prophecy and we should study eschatology, which is a fancy word for simply referring to the end times or a study of end things. And especially those of you who think about perhaps going into full-time gospel ministry, you need to be familiar with, I'll point this out to our students on Tuesday. Thank you, Pastor Vinny. Not as good as having my wife, but you know, he'll do in a pinch. He'll do in a pinch. But you need to be familiar with the four major views of Christian eschatology. You should understand the differences between teachings on pre-millennialism, post-millennialism, amillennialism. Those would be good terms for you to look up and study and learn about. It's why we have classes on the subject. It's why we've got a great Assemblies of God Bible College nearby with erudite professors to help us study these things. But my assignment, the request of me, was not to give a professorial response to end times questions. They knew better than to ask me to do that. But my assignment is to bring a pastoral response to end times questions. And as you will discover fairly quickly, my response and approach to these things is pretty simple, in part because I'm a simple man. But I think I have a couple of important principles to share with us today, and it has to do with recognizing what we do know and what we don't know. What we do know and what we don't know. Let me read a scripture to you that'll serve as our springboard text. We'll pray and jump into it. Are you ready? So our springboard text today, why not take the last two verses in the Bible since we're talking about end times? So we'll go all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And by the way, it's Revelation, not Revelations. There's no S on the end of the word. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. And here's what we read there. He who testifies to these things says, and if you have a red letter edition Bible, which means the words that are spoken by Jesus, the next five words are spoken by Jesus. And here's what he says. Yes. Yes. Those of you who are wondering, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. 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 Come, Lord Jesus, the church responds. And verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me for a word of prayer? Father God, thank you for these awesome moments we have to gather around your word, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, come pour out your glory and grace upon us as you teach us, as you inspire us and encourage us with your eternal word, Lord. God, may we leave here different people because we've been in your presence and we've been in your word. Hide your servant behind the cross now, and may Jesus Christ be high and lifted up, for we pray in his matchless name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. And amen. A pastoral response to end times questions. My simple and straightforward approach to the end times can essentially be broken down in two ways. There's what we know, and there's what we do not know. Let's talk first about what we do not know. Point number one, what we do not know, for those of you taking notes and filling in the blanks. In the Gospels, as Jesus deals with questions about the signs of the end of the age and his return, he makes this statement, or this statement of Jesus is recorded multiple times. Let me read it to you from Mark's account. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Here's what we read. But about that day or hour, Jesus says, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So since that is what we don't know, what does Jesus say next? Verse 33. So be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Twice, Jesus says, no one knows. You do not know. And interestingly enough, he says that in the same conversation as he's talking about the signs of the end times. So there will be signs that the end is near. You better believe it. At least for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But will we know the specific time, the day, or the hour? Absolutely not. And yet that did not stop Edgar C. Wisenant from writing a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. real book, true story, 88 reasons why the rapture will be in 1988, and he sold 4.5 million copies. Think of it. When the predicted rapture did not take place, Wisenant followed with later books with predictions for various dates in 1989, 1993, and 1994. Those books did not sell in great quantity. Edgar passed on in May of 2001. Hopefully he went to heaven. But even if he did, he still doesn't know when the Lord is going to return, because Jesus said only the Father has that information, and he's not giving out any advance notice. And that's just one of hundreds of examples that could be given from history of someone trying to set the date and the time of our Lord's return. Newsflash, you don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Someone from our congregation called me recently, left a sincere question on my phone, wanting to know if I thought the coronavirus vaccine was the mark of the beast. I texted them back and said, I hope not. I just got my vaccine shot. In fact, I actually got my second shot yesterday, and I'd heard that sometimes the second shot, the effect can be, you know, can kind of knock you out for a day or two. So I had Pastor Clark on standby to preach today in case I had ill effects response to the Pfizer vaccine. By the way, it was the Pfizer vaccine, which does not come from any of the vaccine strains related to aborted fetal tissues, which is important to those of us who are pro-life. I talked with a very mature and seasoned minister not too long ago who I deeply, deeply respect. And he was telling me about this asteroid. It's spelled A-P-O-P-H-I-S. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but this asteroid is headed towards us, and a prophetic writer has written a book, and he's talked all about it, and NASA has confirmed that this asteroid might hit the Earth. I mean, talk about precise, April 13th, 2029. So you better be ready, at least on April 13th, 2029. And he's telling me how this ties into Revelation and this asteroid that falls from the sky and hits the Earth and kills a third of the human population and on and goes. You say, well, is that true? Who knows if it's true or not? Here's what we don't know. We don't know when the Lord is coming. I can answer that question for you. No one knows. Let me give you another passage about what we do not know. And then we'll move on. Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And here's what he says to his associates in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Look at Jesus' response, verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Don't we love it when Jesus answers our questions by saying, it's not for you to know. None of your business. I want you to trust me. I want you to serve me and follow me and do my work. But then someone like George Wisenant comes along, acts like he has inside information, and 4.5 million people are gullible enough to buy his book and give him their money. So when people ask about the dates and time of the Lord's return, the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. If, on the other hand, the question is, are we living in the last days? Or are there signs of the times that the Lord's return is nearing? Well, listen to how Paul answered that question in 2 Timothy 3, where he wrote these words 2,000 years ago. And you tell me if we're living in the last days. But mark this, Paul writes, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Are we living in the last days? Well, based on that scripture, there can be no question that the answer is an unequivocal yes. We are living in the last days, which begs the question then, how should we live if we're living in the last days? And my general approach and pastoral philosophy about eschatology can basically be summarized in two things that Jesus said. Jesus said two things. He said, I'm coming soon. And he said, occupy until I come. So let's look at what we do know, point number two, as we look at these two statements from Jesus. First, Jesus said, I'm coming soon. We've already read that. Let's read it again in Revelation 22, 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. That's the last verse in the Bible. Remember that reference to God's grace in the last days. I'll come back to it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, someone is saying, but Pastor Tim, it's been 2,000 years since the Lord gave the promise of his return. How can we live with any sense of urgency when it's been so long? Well, my first answer is simple and straightforward, because Jesus said so. You go ahead and argue with Jesus, but I just suggest you do what he says to do. Remember Mark 13, let's go back to it. Mark 13, 32 again. But about that day or hour, no one knows, Jesus talking here, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now look at what Jesus says in verse 33. Be on guard. Very few people on guard. Be alert. How many people are spiritually sleeping? You do not know when that time will come. So if Jesus says, be on guard and stay alert, how many know that's all the reason we need to do it? Thank you for all those amens. But let me come at it from another angle. Let me explain it another way as well. If the Lord does not appear to us in the next few years, rest assured of this, we are all going to appear before him one day very soon. And we had better be ready. And it will almost certainly be sooner than we think. James 4:14 reminds us why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The problem is that most of us don't really believe that, including professing Christians. We all think we're going to live to 100, but it's simply not true. We had three extended family members of our church die this week. One was 91, and though the family was sad to see him go, they sort of knew the end was near. But in another case, a 49-year-old wife and mother died suddenly and unexpectedly, devastating her family and all those who loved her. We'll do that memorial service perhaps before this week is over. Every year we memorialize members of our church family. And every year that list is somewhere between 15, 20, some years, almost 25 people who have passed in the last year. Many of them are old, but almost always there are some who are young. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And 500,000 Americans did not know that COVID would come for them in the last year. In John 14, 3, Jesus said something prophetic about his return, and yet there's an aspect to the promise that I think we sometimes miss. In John 14, 3, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. That's a promise of Jesus. I will come back, watch this, and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And yes, it's true, the Lord is coming back one day for all of us, but every day, every day, in fact, every minute of every day, he comes for someone, somewhere. And ready or not, their time on this earth is over. And they are ushered into eternity with or without Christ, depending on the choices they made to receive him or reject him as their personal Lord and Savior while they were here on earth. But those of us who live every day looking forward to being united with our Lord, we live in a certain way. There is a personal preparation, is the phrase I'm using, and I've put it in your notes. It's in quotation marks. There's a personal preparation on our part for his return. And again, John, the author of Revelation, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writes in his little epistle, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. This is our text on the last Sunday of 2020. He writes, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now look at verse 3. "All who have this hope," the hope of seeing the Lord one day, "all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." This is our personal preparation. When my father was a boy in the 1930s, they would sneak into a local movie theater to see Tarzan, played by the original and greatest of all Tarzans, Johnny Weissmuller. But in the strict holiness church my dad and his mom were attending at the time, he was told that if the rapture took place while he was in that movie theater, he would be left behind. How's that for using prophecy to scare the you-know-what out of kids? Well, you're probably not going to miss the rapture because you're in a movie theater. But the point made by the Apostle John is that if we take the promise of the Lord's return seriously, if we take the prophecy of the Lord's return seriously, it will seriously impact the way we live our lives. Hello? And by God's grace, grace that is promised to God's people in the last verse of the Bible, we will endeavor to live a life that is pure and pleasing to the Lord, and in so doing, find ourselves ready for his return, regardless of when that time comes. So with the Lord's promise of his soon return, there is a personal preparation for us that is expected. And then there is a personal responsibility that comes with the second thing that Jesus says about his return as the musicians come. Listen to what Jesus says in the parable of the 10 servants found in Luke 19, 11 to 13. "And as they heard these things," he, referring to Jesus, "he added and spake a parable," again, parable being a simple definition, being an earthly story with a spiritual truth or lesson. "He added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem," watch this, "and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Make no mistake, we're talking about the Lord's return here. Verse 13, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy. Occupy till I come." The New King James Version says, "Do business until I come." What do you suppose Jesus meant by that statement? If our eschatology does not address our personal responsibilities in the kingdom of God while we await the return of our King, then we have an underdeveloped eschatology. Thank you again for all those amens. One of the consequences of COVID-19, and there have been good and bad things we've learned along the way, but one of the consequences that has of COVID-19 has been that of people kind of getting into a survival mode, meaning right now I got to look out for myself and my own family. And on one level, that is obviously okay and completely understandable. But as we begin to get past COVID-19, and we're not there yet, I said we are not there yet. But one of the consequences as we get past it, or one of the challenges, I should say, as we get there, one of the challenges we're being told for pastors and spiritual leaders will be that of encouraging and inspiring the body of Christ to once again become engaged in doing the business of the kingdom. Research experts tell us that long after COVID-19 has come and gone, anywhere from 25 to 35% or more of congregations will continue to watch services online instead of coming out to church. Why? Well, because it's easier. It's convenient. So many people have told me, "This pastor, it's really nice having that second cup of coffee in my pajamas and watching you. And, you know, if I need another pancake, I just order another pancake. It's awesome." We understand. And to be clear, if you're staying home because you've not had your vaccine yet, or you have any other concerns about catching the virus, We fully understand and support that caution and concern 100%. Please remember I said that. Don't go out of here and say something I didn't say. You take every precaution you feel is necessary. If, however, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, you're staying home because it's more comfortable and more convenient, then I would challenge you to go back and read that parable about the 10 servants and see what Jesus said happened to the ones that were lazy, indifferent, and distracted from doing their master's business. They weren't occupying while they awaited the master's return. They weren't sharing the gospel. They weren't bringing people to church. They weren't using their God-given gifts in ministry service. They weren't serving the poor or ministering God's grace to the grieving, the hurting, the helpless, the hopeless, and the homeless. They forgot about the power and purpose of corporate worship, forgetting that God does something special as we gather together in His presence that is unique and different from what happens in our personal and private times of devotion. Can't tell you how many have said, "Pastor, while I have been so grateful for the ability to watch online, now that I'm back, oh, it's clearly different. And I did not realize how much I missed the corporate worship experience." You see, Jesus is very clear that once we are saved, as we wait for His return, we do not wait passively, but we wait energetically and enthusiastically as we engage ourselves in the Great Commission. I take you back to the conversation between Jesus and His disciples again in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Then they gathered around Him and asked Him, "Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Jesus said, timing is not for you to know. But notice what He said we do need to know. He explains it in the very next verse, Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There is your last days theology and eschatology. We do not know the day or the hour of our Lord's return, but we do know that He said two things. He said, "I'm coming soon." And He said, "Occupy. Occupy until I come." In fact, so many of Jesus' parables deal with vigilance and service while we wait for the Lord's return. Think of the 10 virgins, those who kept their oil lamps trimmed and those who didn't. Think of the parable of the workers in the vineyard in Matthew 21 to 16. The master was still going out at the 11th hour and hiring workers. Imagine that. That says two things. It says, one, there's still a lot of work to be done. And secondly, it begs the question, why is it the 11th hour and you're not already busy working? That's good preaching, Pastor Tim. Keep going. Thank you. How about the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13 when our guest speaker last week referenced it? It immediately resonated with me where we read in Matthew 13, 25, "While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." God help us, loved ones. There is no time for sleeping. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Hear me say this a lot at Calvary, but the main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. God forgive us for getting distracted by political agendas. God forgive us for getting distracted by spending enormous amounts of time and energy debating differences in eschatology. God forgive us for putting our own personal agendas, desires, and worldly pursuits above that of advancing His kingdom and doing His kingdom business. Time is short and we must keep the main thing. The main thing. And here's how I know that the gospel is the main thing. It's because when I get invited to the bedside of a dying loved one whose eternal destination is still in doubt, the family wants me to do one thing. They don't want me to talk to their dying loved one about our church or our pretty building or how many neat programs we have. They want me to talk to their dying loved one about one thing, about the main thing. About the fact that there is salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. And that even there in their final moments of life here on earth, like the thief beside Jesus on the cross, salvation is possible by grace through faith in Jesus Christ if they will only believe. If they will only believe. Let me try to explain it another way. I think this will be important for the Bible college students to hear on Tuesday, as well as for us to hear it today. But I want you to know I am not minimizing the importance of studying eschatology or understanding the signs of the times in which we live. For surely the end is near. I truly, truly believe that. But in my 45 plus years of pastoral ministry, for every question I have received as a pastor about eschatology and the end of times and when is Jesus coming back, for every one of those kinds of questions, I have received hundreds and hundreds of other questions that sound more like this: Pastor Tim, what do I do with my teenager who's addicted to drugs? Pastor Tim, my marriage appears to be over. Is there anything you can do to help me save my marriage? Pastor Tim, I lost my job. I've lost my sense of hope and purpose. I don't even feel like life is worth living anymore. Can you help me? And for each of those people making those kinds of statements, they literally feel like the world, or at least their world, is coming to an end. They are experiencing their own Armageddon. They are experiencing what feels like their own apocalypse. So what can we do about it? I don't know if Jesus is coming back today, but what I do know is that today, approximately 156 people will die in the state of Massachusetts. And all the numbers I'm about to give you are pre-COVID numbers. I don't know if Jesus is coming back today, but I know that approximately 7,778 people will die in the United States today. Approximately 151,000 people will die worldwide today. 55 million over the course of the next year. And most of them will go out into eternity without Christ, forever lost. My eschatology tells me I need to do something about that. My eschatology tells me that we need to do something about that. Which in part is why we support 600 missionaries and missionary programs to take the gospel around the world. You see, here's what we can do. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14. Another great prophetic passage from the lips of Jesus. Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." How do we speed our Lord's return? By proclaiming the gospel to all the world, beginning with our next door neighbor. Some might say that the gospel is being preached around the world because of where we can go and what we can do via the internet. I understand the point, but what we also know is that approximately 3.2 billion people, approximately 3.2 billion eternal souls, are still waiting for an adequate presentation of the gospel. I would interpret that to mean that we still have a lot of work to do. Yes, the Lord is coming soon. And yes, the church says, "Amen, Lord, come quickly." But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, Peter writes, 2 Peter 3:8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God help us if that is not our desire too. Let us put our hand to the plow and not look back, and let's take as many people to heaven with us as we can, all to the glory of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me for a word of closing prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Lord Jesus, thank you for the reminder today, not only that your word is true, but that every promise you've made has come true. And Jesus, you fulfilled all the other prophecies about your coming and dying and raising from the dead. And Jesus, you will fulfill the prophecy and the promise that you are coming again. Lord, the question is, will we be ready for your return? Lord, I pray first for those who are not ready. Lord, maybe some who are professing Christians who walk with you, but somewhere along the way, they lost their way. They've backslidden. They've gotten out of relationship with you. They do not know that they know that if they were to die today, they would go to heaven. Jesus, would you knock on their heart's door today and call them to a renewed place of personal preparation for your return? And Lord Jesus, for that one within the hearing of my voice who perhaps has never opened up their heart and life to you, but today they're coming to understand they're not ready. And that Jesus, were you to come for them today, they have no assurance of heaven and eternity with you. Oh, if that's you, my dear friend, I want to give you an opportunity right now to say, Jesus, today, I want to invite you into my heart and life. Jesus, today, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, today, I want to know that I am ready for your return. If that's you here today, again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around except this pastor. If that's you, I would love to pray with you and for you. Would you just slip your hand up real quick and put it down right now? Say, Jesus, today. Jesus, today. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Jesus, today. Anyone in the balcony? God bless you. I see your hand in the balcony. Anyone else? Today, Jesus. Today, Jesus, I open up my heart and life to you. I want to be ready. I'm not ready, but I want to be ready, Lord. Come in. Become Lord of my life. Father God, I pray that you would seal upon the hearts of each of these who've raised their hand. And Lord, even for those who are watching online right now, if you're watching online, would you just slip that hand up? You say, well, Pastor Tim, you can't see me. Jesus can see you. And let me tell you, there's something about going through that physical motion of raising your hand, demonstrating that today I surrender to Jesus. Would you do it right now? Father God, seal upon these hearts the magnitude of the decision and commitment they make right now to follow you and to serve you as their personal Lord and Savior. And then, Father, for the rest of us who profess to be Christians, Lord, thank you today for the reminder of our personal responsibility to occupy until you come. It's no time to be sitting around relaxing or sleeping or getting distracted by so many things. Renew our passion, renew our zeal to be busy about our Father's business, that we might bring glory and honor to your name and see your kingdom advanced. For Jesus' sake, and Jesus' glory, and Jesus' honor. It's all for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. May God bless you and continue to make you a blessing to this generation. If you raise your hand today here in person, on your way out, would you stop and say hi to Pastor Layton? He's waving at you right now. He's got some literature, material he'd love to leave with you to help you begin your walk with Christ. If you were watching online, then we just encourage you to text Calvary CC to 97000 and let us know that today was the day you got ready for the Lord's return. Amen. God bless you. Bring somebody to church with you or bring somebody online with you next Sunday.
Thanks for joining us this week on Calvary's podcast. Be sure to visit our website, calvarychristian.church, to stay up to date with events, sermons, and ways you and your family can get connected within our community. We hope to see you in person or online at one of our weekend services. Once again, thanks for listening in today, and we look forward to having you join us next time.